Bernadette Fox is drowning in Seattle. Once a celebrated architect who won a MacArthur Genius Grant, she now lives as a recluse in a crumbling former Catholic girls' reform school, avoiding other parents at her daughter's private school with the determination of someone evading arrest. Her husband, LG, is a Microsoft superstar whose TED Talk has millions of views. Their daughter, B, is a precocious 15-year-old who survived multiple heart surgeries as a child. When B brings home a perfect report card and claims her promised reward, a family trip to Antarctica, Bernadette's carefully constructed walls begin to crumble. How does someone with crippling agoraphobia prepare for a journey to the end of the earth? By hiring a virtual assistant from India for 75 cents an hour, of course. But this seemingly practical solution sets in motion a chain of events that will ultimately lead to Bernadette's disappearance 2 days before Christmas. The question isn't just where Bernadette went, it's who she really is beneath the neurotic, brilliant exterior she shows the world. Straightgate, the Branch family's home, mirrors Bernadette's fractured psyche. The massive, decaying mansion sits precariously on a Seattle hillside, leaking and nearly consumed by blackberry bushes. "I don't know if you've ever tried to live in a house that's falling apart," B explains, "but it's like living inside an organism that's expiring." Bernadette once saw potential in this abandoned historic building, but like her architectural career, renovation plans stalled, leaving the family in a half-finished monument to creative frustration. The house physically manifests Bernadette's inner turmoil. When those invasive blackberry bushes are removed, they trigger a mudslide that crashes through neighbor Audrey Griffin's home during a school fundraiser with kindergartners performing. The disaster is partially blocked by Bernadette's giant red billboard reading, "Private property, no trespassing, Galler Street Gnats will be arrested and hauled off to Gnat Jail," a perfect metaphor for her relationship with the community she despises. Before Seattle and Microsoft, Bernadette Fox was architecture's rising star. Her masterpiece, the 20 Mile House, exemplified innovative, sustainable design built entirely from materials sourced within 20 miles of the site. The structure used salvaged redwood, local stone, and recycled industrial materials, creating a space that seemed to emerge organically from its surroundings. Critics called it revolutionary. Then, while Bernadette and LG were traveling, her nemesis purchased the house and demolished it. 20 years later, only photographs remain. This devastating loss coincided with several miscarriages, followed by B's premature birth with a serious heart condition. This trauma led Bernadette to abandon architecture completely. As her colleague Paul Jelinek later tells her, "People like you must create. If you don't create, Bernadette, you will become a menace to society." Without an outlet for her genius, Bernadette's creative energy transforms into anxiety, paranoia, and bizarre behavior. Her meticulous planning of escape routes and obsessive documentation of neighborhood disputes show the same attention to detail once devoted to her designs, a brilliant creative mind turned against itself and everyone nearby. Seattle's Galler Street School provides the perfect setting for simple satire of privileged parenting culture. Through emails between school volunteers Audrey Griffin and Sulin Lee Siegel, we see a private school trying to rise from second-tier to first-choice cluster status by shifting from Subaru mentality to Mercedes mentality to attract wealthy donors. Audrey emerges as Bernadette's chief antagonist, a woman so focused on appearances, she writes cheerful Christmas letters while her home lies destroyed by mudslides. Her friend Sue Lynn, a Microsoft administrative assistant with an inappropriate crush on LG, eagerly joins in criticizing Bernadette's eccentricities. They embody everything Bernadette loathes about Seattle: performative environmentalism, passive-aggressive niceness, and tedious fundraisers. These characters avoid becoming mere caricatures as their vulnerabilities emerge. Audrey's status obsession masks insecurities about her troubled son, while Sue Lynn's pursuit of LG stems from loneliness. Even as we laugh at their schemes, we recognize the human fears driving them, the same fears that have pushed Bernadette into isolation. The novel's turning point arrives when LG arranges an intervention with psychiatrist Dr. Janelle Kurtz, pushed beyond endurance by Bernadette's behavior. His breaking point? Discovering she's been sharing personal information with Manjula, actually part of a Russian identity theft ring. Combined with the mudslide incident and her Antarctica trip anxieties, LG believes hospitalization is necessary. The intervention unfolds with perfect tragicomic timing. As LG presents his evidence, receipts, surveillance footage, emails, years of suppressed resentment surface. "You're so self-pitying, so selfish, so paranoid. I refuse to plunge off the cliff with you." FBI agent Strang's presence criminalizes Bernadette's eccentricities, while Su Lin attends as a concerned friend, barely hiding her interest in LG. But Bernadette, a MacArthur genius, refuses surrender. In a brilliant twist, she escapes through a bathroom window, aided by former nemesis Audrey Griffin, who's had a conscience awakening about her judgmental behavior. As LG pursues his wife through blackberry brambles, he suffers both physical and symbolic injury, a scratched cornea requiring taped glasses, perfectly symbolizing his emotional blindness to his wife's talents and needs. At the center of this swirling chaos stands B Branch, the precocious narrator who refuses to believe her mother would abandon her. Born with hypoplastic left heart syndrome, a condition requiring multiple surgeries during her first years, B has always been a fighter. Her unwavering faith in her mother drives the narrative. B's voice provides both humor and heart. Her observations about adults are hilariously astute, describing school administrator Olio as looking like a thumb with a face drawn on it. Despite Bernadette's flaws, her social isolation, refusal to participate in school activities, general misanthropy, she has always been fully present and loving with B. Their bond is unshakable, built on inside jokes, shared disdain for Seattle's provinciality, and mutual understanding. This is why B refuses to accept that her mother fell overboard during an Antarctic storm. She intuitively knows Bernadette would never leave her, which drives her to convince her father to take her to Antarctica, a journey that becomes both a physical quest and emotional passage toward understanding adult relationships. Antarctica becomes the perfect setting for Bernadette's rebirth. After escaping the intervention, she travels there impulsively, initially seasick, before falling in love with the continent's stark beauty. The cathedrals of ice provide the architectural inspiration she's lacked for 20 years. At Palmer Station, she finds kindred spirits, intellectuals who value ideas over social niceties. Discovering a project to replace the South Pole's geodesic dome reignites her architectural passion. The mother-daughter reunion brings the story full circle. B's graduation trip becomes the backdrop for Bernadette's creative rediscovery. By reconnecting with her passion, she becomes the present, engaged mother B needs. This reflects what we all seek, not just to be physically found, but truly seen and understood. Bernadette's journey shows that identity is fluid. We can lose and find ourselves repeatedly. Sometimes we need to reach Earth's remotest place to rediscover who we are, or someone who believes in us enough to come looking.